the Wayne Ayers Podcast.
The Wayne Ayers Podcast.
Woohoo!
Time to wake your ass up for a blessed day.
There we go.
Hey,
how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Congrats on getting married.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're from Bermuda, right? So that you did it back there. How was seeing all the family, everything, just being back there for your wedding?
It was good, and it was kind of crazy just because we were postponing for 3 years, while the pandemic set our plans back. So it was cool to actually just do it, after however long of planning and changing the plans and changing the plans again. And finally, we just got to see everyone and party. It was cool.
No, that's amazing. What's your favorite thing about Bermuda? Because it looks like a couple of my friends have gone. I haven't gone personally, but it looks mad beautiful.
Yeah, you need to.
Is it a favorite thing you man, when I go back here, I just love to do this.
Yeah, I mean, a million things, but I just love being on the water. The water around Bermuda is so beautiful, and the sand and the coral reefs, and just snorkeling and going out on the boat and paddleboarding, kayaking. I just love it all. I love being on the water. I'm such an ocean girl.
Is there a beach that people should go to if they go there?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're famous for Horseshoe Beach. That's our, that's the beach. If you see a postcard, you're probably looking at Horseshoe Beach. It's massive, and the rock, the rocks along the edge of it, and it's stunning. It looks like a green screen. So that's the one I would say.
Okay, that's nice. Do you guys, ever get mad when people talk about I know there's, the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. I kind of felt bad because they just kind of just put it on y'all. It's like, yo, y'all don't have to do that.
Okay? Yeah. I mean, I think it's funny. And I never really, what amuses me is that people seem to think I am in on some sort of, they think I know. They think I'm keeping the secret, and all the Bermudians are just kind of keeping the back pocket. And I'm always well, there's a bunch of theories. And I go all science mode and talk about methane and the compass and the, I don't blame people though. I mean, that's what most people know because we're so small. And if you've never been there, you don't know where it is. And so fair enough.
No. Yeah. I'd be hearing about Bermuda, the triangle, and then they know about Atlantis and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Where do you guys come from? Where do you guys get all this from?
I know. I mean, the theories are endless.
No, that's good. I heard you're a musician before you transitioned to musical and then to acting. Do you ever plan on going back to music?
Yeah, I mean, my dream would be to be able to, play some roles where I can bring in the music and just kind of interchange them a little bit. I don't have the intention to go do tours and be a musician in that way. I don't think I love acting so much, but I would love to tie it in. I mean, I was just playing piano earlier today and I was man, I don't do this enough. It was my life growing up. When I was younger, I was playing the flute and piano and singing and always in some sort of band or practice. So I miss it a lot, and I would really like to be able to incorporate it a little more into my acting career.
Would you like to do something like a Broadway or one of those movies The West Side Story or
that? That would be amazing. Yeah, I mean, they seem like so much fun. Broadway does excite me. Just even doing stage theater again would be awesome. Right now I'm so focused on film and TV, but it would be great to do something like a West Side Story where, it's kind of the mix of both.
No, yeah. I know you also done modeling. I want to know, what is your least favorite out of music, modeling, and acting?
My least favorite? That's such a funny question. Honestly, I really loved modeling in moments, because I love people and I love the creative process, and at its best, it was just a really fun day dancing around, playing music, hanging out with cool humans, taking photos, being creative together. But a lot of the time it just felt like an office job where it was very repetitive and people weren't that creatively fulfilled because it was still just a job where they were pleasing the person ahead of them. And or above them. And so I think modeling, there definitely came to a point where I was feeling like I had maxed out on what I could do. And I could have taken it further, you know, if I wanted to travel and really pursue it, I'm sure that that would have changed it up a bit. But for me, I always knew I wanted to act. So it just sort of felt like more of a stepping stone to the acting.
No, that's good. So anybody that's thinking about modeling and being an actor or musician, if they're creative, just go with acting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong. Like, it's just different ways to express yourself. It's different ways to create and to collaborate with other people. And so I think it's whatever calls to you. Like, I think if it brings you joy and you have fun doing it, that's going to come through. And that's really what matters.
I know, like, I feel like you're about to dabble. I know you got, like, you're producing a movie and you got another movie that you're actually doing, but they're, like, two different, and then it's different mm-hmm. from Umbrella Academy. So it's, like, you're genre bending now. Like, is there, like, a favorite genre you have?
I love it all, honestly. Like, I love kickboxing and working out and being really, you know, physical. So I would love to do, I did a film called Escape the Field that came out earlier this year that I got to kind of run around in a cornfield for a month. And it was a pretty physical role, which was a lot of fun. I'd love to do more of that kind of thing. Something that would really challenge me to transform my body, that excites me a lot. But I also really love comedy, and I'm writing a couple projects right now that are kind of in that dark comedy vein. So yeah, I kind of just want to do it all. I don't really ever want to pigeonhole myself.
No, that's before I go to the comedy, my bad. Before I go to comedy, how was like filming Escape Field? I feel like, were you guys just like out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, it was pretty fun. Like, it was, we had the whole cornfield to ourselves. It was this big maze, except during the day, it was close to Halloween. There were all these kids kind of going through corn mazes. And so we'd hear like children's laughter in the distance. And at night you'd hear coyotes howling. And it definitely was pretty eerie. Like, it wasn't that hard to pretend, you know, to be afraid and to feel lost in there.
No, I can. The coyotes howling? No, I can do
it. Yeah, it was definitely. And it was cold. Like, it was like, you know, how it is that, especially in the East Coast, like once it starts turning that corner from summer into fall, and you know, those kind of like late October months, like it gets a little chilly. Like, I was running around in a tank top and a, you know, pair of scrubs. Like, it was not the warmest costume to be in.
No, I feel like me personally, I'd probably, like, just hearing coyotes is, you're in like a maze. Like, was there any like moments that you felt like spooked out, like, oh, like things that you were hearing that were actually there, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just, like, that, but.
I mean, there definitely were moments when it was night where you start to feel like, you know, it's 3 a.m. and you start to feel like you're going a little crazy, and you're
kind
of looking around, everyone's a little giddy, and everyone's like sleep deprived, and you're just like, is this a dream? Like, it's very bizarre. Like, this is my job. middle of the night.
So speaking of, I know you just brought up the comedy, like, what made you want to, like, just get started writing in comedy?
Well, I just think there needs to be more comedy. And I think that, you know, that's the stuff that I enjoy doing the most. The first job I ever did was a comedy. It was Man Seeking Woman. And it was only like an episode. It was like literally one of my first auditions. And I was so pumped that I booked it, and getting on set with Jay Baruchel and Eric Andre. And they were so lovely to me. And it ended up turning into 2 days of filming because of the day changing around. And I just got to like watch and learn, and everyone just was laughing their butts off and improvising. And the energy was just so positive and creative and fun. And I was just like, man, I want to do more of this. I wanted, you know, it's fun. Acting is fun no matter what the genre is, but obviously a drama where you're like crying your guts out all day is a different experience from something where you're improvising and you're all just kind of like jumping on each other and you're laughing. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think it's important to have both, like the contrast. That's why I never really only want to get stuck in one area. But there's something really, really exciting about comedy to me. And also I just really love like, you know, what Phoebe Waller-Bridge is doing. Like, I don't know if you've seen Fleabag, like stuff like that is just, it sort of is a bunch of different genres in one, and it's really brave. Like, I think, you know, the idea of doing a comedy that's really irreverent and brave and bold and not afraid to you know, push the envelope, that's really cool to me.
I feel like with comedy nowadays, like it's just like everybody, it seems like the most attacked genre to me, because it's like somebody pokes at something just to feel like offended when it wasn't intentionally to be like offended. So
Totally. Yeah.
yeah, so like how do you like think about that while writing? Like, okay, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I also want it to be funny, because it's
Yeah,
kind of hard.
I know what you mean, and I think it always crosses your mind, and it's definitely, we're in an age where like things are getting called out, people are getting called out, which is, I think, a really positive thing in some ways, because sometimes people need to be set back, and they need to be responsible and accountable for their words and their actions. But I also think that the censoring of it can sometimes go too far the other way, where creativity is kind of like stifled. So I guess it's finding that balance and being brave, like it's, you're gonna probably offend people, and not, Fleabag isn't for everyone. Like, I don't think my parents would enjoy watching Fleabag, because I think it's a little bit like generationally. I also think that we're changing with each generation, and that's an aspect of it too, is that certain shows will do better with some generations than others, and you're never going to please everybody. So I think it's just about like constantly checking in with what you feel is right for you as a creator.
So is it more like, if you could, I don't know, you can't really talk on it, but is it more like say like The Office vibe, Fleabag vibes, and like, okay, I'm going down just like dark, or
Yeah, I mean, I'm working on a few things right now. One of them is sort of that ensemble comedy, like The Office. Like, I think that there's something so funny about just seeing people living their daily lives and having everyone clash, and just the different personalities, and like how does this character bounce up against them, or deal with this crisis, or deal with this awkward situation. So there's one comedy that I've written with a friend, and then there's another dark comedy that's more in the vein of like, Fleabag meets Breaking Bad, meets a flight attendant, just kind of a bit grittier, a little bit darker, but still that through line of comedy. That's the stuff that really excites me.
Oh, that's okay. I'm excited. There's also a project I saw. It was called All In. I think I saw IMDb, and it
Yeah.
looked very interesting. I don't know if you can talk on it a little bit, but I was like, oh, this looked actually very interesting.
Yeah. So that was actually a proof of concept that I did with a friend of mine, John Popolis. He's a director writer, and he brought me into this project. They were doing a proof of concept. It hasn't been made into a feature film yet. It was based on a short film, so that was really fun. That was like a week of shooting, and it was based on a book about a true life story, a girl who, she was sex trafficked. She just thought she was responding to a listing for a dancing position. She was a dancer from Eastern Europe, and she ended up getting sucked into sex trafficking and being forced to work at a strip club. And so that was the character, was, she's turned to addiction, and she feels really trapped, and it was great. I mean, like I said, it was only a week of filming, but that's something that, I don't know if it ends up getting made. I would love to continue with that character, because it's a really compelling
So is
story.
it like a short film, or are you trying to push it for a feature film?
Yeah, so that was a short film. I wasn't in the short film. I was part of the proof of concept, which was essentially to try to get funding for a feature film, which I think they're kind of in flux right now with that. You know how these projects go. Sometimes it takes 10 years, and the timing's off, and then they circle back, and then the timing's right. And so,
Yeah, I know. I think it took like Squid Games 15 years to be made. It's like, why?
gosh, it's just
That
so
takes a
crazy when and then it's out in the world, and it's like it was never not here. It's so huge for culture, but it's just crazy that the process, honestly, like now that I'm writing and producing, I just, it's a miracle that anything gets made, with how many people are involved and how much needs to align, and it's fascinating.
I also want to talk about that. I know you're producing more. Like, how is it important? 'Cause I see like a lot of actors. Like, I feel like there's always been like everybody's always been producing it, but I feel like a lot of actors and actresses just really been on the producing game as like in late. But so, like, what made you like want to be like become a producer as well?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Honestly, I think it's about control. Like, I think it's quite difficult to be an actor and come to set and pour your heart into your performance, and put so much into building this character and the story and investing, and then you don't really have any control once you walk off set. The editing process, the final product is very much, beyond your domain if you're not a producer and you're not involved in the post-production. side of things. So that's the part that really excites me, is like, I am a bit of a control freak, but in the sense that like, I know what I like, and I, when I do pour my heart in, I really care. And so, yeah, it just really appeals to me to get to be a part of it kind of from day one to the last day, and get to have a hand in the overall scheme of things rather than just this, the part of the acting.
So like, how does that like producing, like how does it come about? Do you just like, hey guys, I want to become a producer in this, or like, is it like certain stipulations? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, if you become a producer, you have to take less money and you get more money on the back end, or like, how does that even work?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different every time, really. Like, I think it's a case by case basis. I'm still very much learning about it. The projects that I've been involved in have just been me getting approached by either people who I'm already friends with in the industry, or people who, you know, I have mutual contacts, and, bringing me on because I bring specific relationships and experience that serve the project or help it get to that next stage. I think, you know, you'll see a project have many producers often, and everybody, you know, some producers maybe are more on the creative side of it. Some are more the money side of it. Like, relationships are huge. Just essentially, like, there's so many things that need to come together for projects to get made. And so it's being able to kind of bridge all the people, you know, and make the right calls and be patient, really. 'Cause it's, you know, it takes a while, especially for indie type of projects. Like, it's no small feat.
I know, like, for indie projects, like, how do you, like, say, like, for, like, upcoming filmmakers, they want to do, like, an indie project because, you know, they're not going to get the big, you know, I don't know how to say, phrase it up, but, like, they're not going to get, like, the big time production budgets or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you're, like, an indie, like, film, just someone that, like, just, if I want to start an indie film, like, how would I go about that? Like, would I need, like, a lot of people on set, or, like, what do you, you know what I'm saying? My bad.
No. I think I know what you mean. I think, you know, I think what you're asking is, if you want to get into filmmaking, like, what's the first step, essentially?
Yeah.
So I think, obviously, having a script, having a concept that you really fully fleshed out, you know, you have a really strong sense of the characters, a strong sense of what your vision is. And then just really finding the right people to be around, you know, whether it's a couple producing partners, you know, a lot of the time when a project, I think, is more of an independent film or whatever it may be, it helps to get somebody who has a lot more experience involved and someone who's already kind of made a name for themselves, because you unfortunately need someone to take a chance on you when you're starting out. You know, that's how it was when I booked my first jobs. Like, I didn't have a resume, you know, you just keep building. You book that small role and then you book another small role, and maybe that next small role turns into a slightly bigger role, and then you book a slightly bigger role, and, you know, it just kind of unfolds from there. So I think it's just surrounding yourselves with the right people, and having a mentor is really huge if you can find someone who's a few steps ahead of you just to be there for you. 'Cause it's, you know, there's no rule book, like, everybody's path is quite different, but yeah, I think just getting the right people involved and getting your script in the right hands, or finding someone who's passionate about the project who can help you push it to the next step.
I know you just mentioned mentor. Like, who's like your mentor?
I mean, it's so funny because I have a bunch of different friends who, like, when I started acting, a friend of mine, Jessica Sipos, she's an actress, producer, writer as well. And we met at an audition. She's one of my best friends to this day. We met at an audition for a commercial, and we right away locked eyes and we're like, oh my God, like, we need to be best friends. And we hit it off right away. And I've been doing modeling and I had my theater degree, but I was in Toronto and I didn't really know where to start with film and TV acting. I didn't know how to get an agent. I didn't even know which agents were good. Like, I just felt really kind of out of my depth. And she was so kind to me, and she helped me, you know, enroll in an acting class that she was in that really helped me grow and develop my craft. And then from there, I was able to get an agent. And I think sometimes it's just finding someone who has just been doing it a couple more years than you. And now, obviously, I've been doing it for almost 10 years and we just kind of are there for each other and really good friends. But I mean, I think a mentor in the beginning is really just finding someone who, if you look where you want to go, look at someone who's already kind of a few years ahead of you there.
Are you mentoring anybody right now?
No one specific, just, you know, anytime I've had quite a few people just reach out asking the same questions, like how do I get into acting, you know, friends of friends or kids of friends or whatever it may be. And I'm always really excited and grateful for the opportunity to get to pass on the advice that I have and the wisdom that I've learned so far. And I'm still learning and I have a long way to go, but I get that it's really intimidating when you're starting. And you know, I feel like I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but I also am aware of the fact that 5 years ago, I would be really excited by where I am now. And so I think it's just celebrating each step of the way.
That's amazing. I had to ask you this because, you know, Umbrella Academy got renewed for season four. Is there, and then, you know, well, Umbrella Academy, anything can really just happen. So is there a possibility that you're returning for season four?
I mean, I haven't been told no or yes. So yeah, I mean, I'd say there's a possibility. I mean, honestly, I've loved being a part of the show the last three seasons. I'm grateful for it regardless whether my character serves the story where they're going for season four or not. I'm just really happy to have been a part of it. Obviously, would love to come back. I love the show. It would be really cool to get to be part of that last chapter, but either way, I mean, I'm excited to see what they're going to do regardless. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. You and me both.
How would you like to see the show end?
Oh man, I don't know. It's so tough. It's so tough to wrap these types of shows up because everybody just is so invested in them, and the characters almost feel like family, and you see them go through the highs and the lows. And so, I mean, obviously, it's nice to have everyone have a happy ending at the end of their journey, but you never really know. Are they gonna leave things open-ended? Like, there's so many ways to go about these. I hope everyone gets a happy ending. I mean, they've had a really, I'd say they all have had a pretty tough go of it. A lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of loss. Poor Allison, man, like this past season, she was going through it. Like, I would hope to see her get to find love again, or be with her daughter again, or you know, I think it would be nice to see everybody finally have some peace at the end of all of it.
No, that's true. I would love to see that too. You know, I'm cool with the chaos too as well. You know,
Chaos is good. I mean,
so.
you need a little chaos to offset the peace. I think a healthy balance, but if we can end on a peaceful note, that'd probably be nice, I think.
Do you have like a favorite scene from Umbrella Academy of yours? You're like, yo, this is like my scene right here. Like, I have to show my friends this scene because like this is my scene.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few. You've seen the third season? I don't want to ruin. I mean, at this point,
No,
I'm going to
everybody's
tell
seen
you anyway.
it.
But
If you haven't, too bad.
yeah, exactly. You had your chance. I really loved the. I mean, I loved getting to play Grace this past season. I felt like it was just so out there, and it was a lot of fun for me. I really loved the speaking in tongues scene. I felt that scared the crap out of me. You know, where I'm kind of just adoring and worshiping the Kugelblitz. Those were really fun, all those scenes where she's just like completely besotted with this thing that's appeared in the basement. And then back in season one, I had a favorite scene that was with Allison and Luther when I'm making the pancakes. I don't know if you remember it, but I'm making the pancakes, or no, I'm making eggs and bacon and a smiley face. And I was so bad at multitasking. Like, I could not. My lines and the cooking and then the plating the food and then the putting it down. And I like put frown faces in front of them by mistake. And it was like, you know, 1, 2 in the morning, and we were trying not to laugh, and we got the giggles, and then Tom couldn't get his lines out. And when I watched that scene, I'm like, that's one of my favorite scenes, like acting wise too. And I think I was just so relaxed, and it's such a lesson in having fun and chilling out. But it was also one of my favorite scenes to shoot because we just had a fun time and we were like children.
No, yeah, I love it. I have a fan question for you. I told people I was interviewing you.
Yeah.
One of them was, I thought this was actually interesting because I didn't notice myself, but I was like, somebody said, they said some, you know, my bad.
That's okay.
many expressed there may be a plot hole having Grace in season three at the Grace is in the Sparrow Academy since Victor wasn't present in that timeline. And had not been scaring or not been scaring his nannies. What is your undertaking of why Grace created a timeline covered in season three?
Oh man. Okay, so which scene is this? This is when
Yeah,
Victor. So,
because they're pretty much saying like if the if
oh,
Victor
because I
wasn't killed,
wasn't right. So the reason that I was created in season one is because Victor was killing all the other nannies, but since Victor didn't have to do that, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think I think that in season three, the reason that he created me was simply to be a servant, essentially.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, season three, I'm obviously not a mother figure. There's no love there. There's no affection there. I'm literally just there to make them their food and clean up after them. And they don't see me with any sense of love. And you can feel that. So I think in season one, I was created, you know, out of function because there needed to be a very durable nanny. But in season three, it was very much just a function of having having a servant that was nice to look at, I think. And also, I mean, I think if you look at Hargreaves and his sense of humor and his sensibility, and in season two, the fact that he was in love with a human that looked very much like this AI that he built, you could also argue that he just wanted to see her face around the house. It was some sort of reminder for him while also serving the role of the servant. I hope I answered that question for whoever.
Yeah.
I probably could have done that in a more concise way, but I think we got there.
who do you think is Grace's favorite child?
I mean, Diego. Like, I think if Grace wouldn't have a favorite, actually, because she's a perfect mother. So she, perfect mother, loves all of her children equally.
You already said Diego.
I did say Diego. And David, if you're listening, I'm sure you would stand by that too. They do have a very special bond. They have a very, very sweet, special, beautiful bond.
Which Umbrella Academy character do you think you're more like in real life? Like, you personally, that you can relate to?
Honestly, I do feel like Grace in a lot of ways, which is a weird thing to say. I remember being like, what does this say about me that I relate so much to this character that's not human? I mean, I think I a lot of the time, like growing up, I felt very different. Like I didn't really fit in high school that much. And so there's something about Grace that I do feel like I really connect with, which is just that feeling of just always being a little bit on the outside and like wanting to belong. So I really relate to her. I mean, I think I also relate to Luther just because he's so goofy and like he's kind of a bit of a, pardon the pun, space cadet. And I definitely can be a bit of a space cadet myself. So maybe a mix of Grace and Luther, which is a weird thought, but I think you know what I mean.
I know you've like played like one of the like iconic robots like ever. Like if you could like put like another iconic robot in like season four of Umbrella Academy, which robot would you?
Oh, I love Alicia Vikander's role in Ex Machina. I mean, although is it the Jetsons? That would be pretty funny. Putting the one from the Jetsons in there, I feel like that would be a little bit of comic relief in the middle.
Yeah,
of it.
I was thinking that and the robot from Futurama.
Oh yeah, that would be maybe you just get the three of them together. That would be it. That, I mean, that could be a show in and of itself. That, you know, no,
that'd be pretty interesting. I know the Umbrella Academy had comic books. Did you ever read them before like coming onto the show?
I did read them before coming on the show. I hadn't read them when I booked the role, and then of course the first thing I did when I booked it was to order all of them, tore through all of them, loved them, and then was like a million times more excited to do it. But I mean, it was such a gift to have them and to get to have a sense of the vision for the show even before we got going. And then obviously meeting Gabriel Ba and Gerard Way and being able to have them there on set when we got going and have their presence with us throughout all three seasons, I think was just huge for us.
Is there something from the comic books that you like would like to see put on the show if it's not too late?
I mean, I think it's pretty fun that like my limbs were always just being removed, and that made me laugh when I first read it. I was like, I wonder if they're gonna actually do that. And I mean, technically, my limbs do kind of come off a couple times, but I loved that she just kind of forgot to put them on in the very beginning of the first comic.
I know. Like, I feel like actually, it's just the truth. But Umbrella Academy is like one of the like best Netflix shows they created. I want to know, like, if you could be, like, in another Netflix show, which show would you want to be in?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I'm going to go get my list. I mean, there's so many good ones. I what came to mind for some reason was Ozark, but I don't know. I feel like that would be really intense and heavy. And I mean, I'm obsessed with Jason Bateman, so I'll go with that for now, just because I think I just think it's a brilliant show. But yeah, it's definitely a heavy one.
No, yeah, Ozark, that show. Me personally, I would love to be in Money Heist. I'm just robbing banks and everything with the professor rolling with the, yeah, that'd be
Oh,
epic.
yeah, that would be fun. It'd be a
No,
thrill with that. I honestly, there's
that.
so many. That's the thing. Like I'm hooked. Like I just love, and lately I've really gotten into all the true crime documentaries, all the different series, about murder. I mean, there's so many good ones right now, and I think as a society we're pretty obsessed with learning about them, but I've been really into those lately too.
So, like, would you be interested in doing like a Law and Order or NCIS, something like
Oh
that?
yeah, I mean that would be fun.
No,
I love lawyery stuff. I really love lawyery stuff. I've been watching Outlander lately too. Have you seen Outlander?
I haven't seen. I heard a lot of good things, but I just haven't
I
seen
love
it.
Outlander. Actually, that would be a fun one to be in. I love historical fiction. That's just like when I read a book, it's 9 times out of 10, it's historical fiction. There's something about all the different eras through history that really excites me. World War II, especially. And yeah, that would be a fun one.
Before I let you go, I want to know, because you're doing producing, writing, is there like a story that you really want to tell, like in the next, like say 5, 10 years? Like, okay, I really want to do, I want to star, act. I mean, I want to star, write, and produce in this story.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing I'm working on right now, and it's still early days, but there's just I think we're at a really interesting time, and everything's sort of being brought up to the surface. And I think still being a woman these days is really difficult. Like looking at the domestic violence, looking at the Me Too movement, which women still being underpaid. Like there's so many issues that to me I look at that and I'm like, how is this still going on when we're aware of the issue? And so what I'm working on right now is just sort of like it's just about like what if a woman were to decide to like take change into her own hands and like take action and make the world wake up. And so I don't know. I think I want to do things that push the envelope. I want to do things that make people think, that make people consider what they believe and consider what they've been taught to believe. And I'm a really spiritual person, and I think that a lot of us are going through life and like, we're not totally present to our life, and we're not really awake, and we're not really questioning the conditioning that was programmed into us from a young age. And so yeah, I think the things I keep doing, I just want to make people really think for themselves and reevaluate whether they really believe the things that they're living, and be awake in their own lives and be conscious in their own lives.
Would you ever like be interested in making like a movie, like just like a total flip? Like, so like, like, cause like, I feel like men, we get away with a lot of things. So if you put like woman in like men's
Like the
shoes,
Parent Trap, or not the Parent Trap, like Freaky Friday, like Freaky Friday.
yeah, like you just, I'd say you just be both
Yeah, yeah,
there.
yeah.
And you,
Well, yeah, I mean, you actually, that's a really good point, because that is kind of what I'm after with this thing I'm writing, which is like, what if men knew through lived experience what it was like to be a woman? Like, what if they actually knew what it felt like? Everybody would be, I mean, if we walked a mile in everyone's shoes, we would be a lot kinder to everyone and a lot more compassionate. And I think that's what we need more of in this world. Like, it's a lot of challenges. We need to be really kind to one another. So you're onto something there.
no, I feel like it would be way eye-opening, because like you could be like, oh, this actually, if this actually happened to me, I would feel like a way about, you know what I'm saying? I feel,
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perspective.
but I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure. It was really nice to see you. And
Nice talking to you. I hope you come back for season four.
yeah, me too. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Bye.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.